Nikki, it's your mother. No, you never call me. I mean, I wonder, is your finger broken?
Just don't tell my mother.
It's your mother.
Mother.
No, you never call me.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Where the hell are you? You are never home.
Hello, my family. Welcome back to Don't Tell My Mother. I'm your host, Nikki Levy, and I'm so happy to be here. I am sitting here with a rip-roaring cankosaur in the side of my gum. I had to go to the emergency dentist this morning. It is like a squirrel walked into my mouth last night and buried nuts in the side of my gum. I am in so much pain, but I am just doing my best. Bear with me. My mouth has not hurt this much since I gave my first BJ when I was 20 years old to that guy, Gary, I'm not going to say his last name, in Boston. I mean, that is how much pain I'm in. Do you understand the pain I'm in? Today's guest will understand that pain. You have never met two queens more in love with reality television than Matt Maher and Jake Anthony, aka Poodle, from the wildly successful podcast Reality Gaze. Matt and Jake are absolutely obsessed. And when I say obsessed, I mean like stan, fan, crazy stalker quality obsessed with the show 90 Day Fiancé. And I have to live vicariously through them and their episodes because I've never seen that show a day in my entire life. They are telling two very Southern, very gay stories. One is about peeing on someone's floor, and the other is telling a story about Liz Claiborne heels. Now, let me just give you a little tip. They didn't pee in the heels. Separate stories. Okay, guys, Jake's mother, oh my God, Jake's mother, who lives way up a mountain and way down a dirt road, joins us. She's hilarious. Her name is Vicky. This episode cracks my shit up. If you like gays and you like Southern and you like urine, keep listening. All right, here is me and Matt Maher and Jake Anthony right after this.
Just don't tell my mother.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's up, guys?
Hi.
Hi.
It is early to scream.
Can I be honest with you guys? This is, I don't know why. Why are we on? It's my fault. It's my fault we're on this early.
That's fine.
It's my fault.
We're up. I'm just not used to being bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Oh.
I love a good podcast with some coffee. I'm here. I like it.
I'm drinking coffee. In fact, I'm going to go pop mine for another cup in. I'll be right back.
Are we actually recording? Did he just leave?
He literally left.
Oh, I just spit coffee on myself.
Okay, he's back. He's back. You guys host a very, very, very funny podcast called Reality Gaze, where you dissect and make fun of and love on the hit TLC show 90 Day Fiancé. And I know you do other shows, but let's talk about that show for a second. I have never, ever watched this show. I want you to give me, and anyone else who hasn't seen it, like the 10 second spiel on what it's about.
Americans find love overseas and or in Mexico. And then they get what's called a K-1 visa. Mm-hmm. And the other person comes over and becomes their 90 day fiance, because the K-1 visa says they have 90 days to marry or that person must leave the country. So those are the stakes. And then depending on the storyline, hilarity / sadness / crazy ensues.
Guys, doesn't ICE have a problem with this show?
Surprisingly, I think a lot of normal laws are violated.
In the making of the show.
There's like a documentary clause that says, we're trying to let these people live their own lives, blah, blah, blah. It's in general, though, it is.
Well, the show's presented. The show's the show is definitely presented as everybody's here for love, even if they're not.
Okay.
Even yes. if there's someone who's coming from another country who, like, she clearly just wants a better life, but the dumb old guy in America thinks she loves him. So some, yeah. at least one person is in it for love. Usually we've never had a show where it's just like two people transactional.
That makes sense.
And the point is the show sets up those stakes as this kind of Americanized rom-com of an ocean apart, you know, and sometimes it's so obvious from episode one to everyone but the American that it's a catfish.
Okay, I am all for love in its many iterations, right? And I also think people find love, like, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I've been to weddings, nothing to do with a K-1 visa, where I'm like, this will never last, because I'm an asshole. And by the way, I'm wrong.
Denial is a really powerful thing. And once you make a choice, once you say you're going to get married, people will stay in that marriage just to prove everyone wrong.
Oh, yes. My parents before the divorce.
We actually did research. And by research, I mean like a 30-minute Google. But it is one of the more, it all does start with the seed of truth that these two people find each other. They file the K-1 visa on their own. The show doesn't do any of this. So what these people are, some of them are end up being reality stars, but at the core of it is this seed of either desperation or of love or needing this validation. And
yeah,
that's fascinating.
The stakes are always high.
Well, other than life or death, which love can feel like, I don't know if there's a higher stake than love, right?
That's why so many reality shows are about love and relationships, because if you're just a regular person, you are either in a relationship. Yeah. And you're happy with your relationship and you're compelled by other people, or you're trying to get out of one. Or if you're a single person, you are desperately looking for a relationship. Or if you're like me, you're just trying out a lot and just seeing what comes along.
Let me ask you guys a question. Who are either of you guys in love right now?
I'm not.
That's Jake.
I am. I've been in a relationship for 7 years, so I'm very much in love. I was single for 15 years before that, so I was...
15 years you were single?
Yeah, I'm special, bitch. I'm not settling down for anyone.
But you have such good hair. I'm shocked. I'm honestly shocked. 15 years you were... No, you had a date a little bit.
You don't realize she is extraordinarily awkward.
How long have you been single for, Poodle?
I've dated, though.
How long... But define dating. Knowing their last name.
Oh, Matt, you're burning Poodle like hot coffee. Okay, Poodle, continue.
I think it has to do with there is a type of gay male or same-sex male relationship that is about let's be the advocate cover couple that people are looking for.
Explain what that means for people
that
who don't
means,
know what the advocate
let me
is.
Be the perfect gay couple with two French bulldogs and... Right. Sweaters around our necks.
Yeah, Neil exactly. Patrick Harris, David Burka, the Lance Bass.
Oh, yeah.
The Instagram gays. You need that, or the other option is, and there is no other option. You have to work to find that.
Now, you guys both moved here from the South. Where did you each move from?
I didn't move here originally from South Carolina. I moved a lot of other places.
Okay. But you're from South Carolina originally.
South Carolina, upstate South Carolina.
Okay. Matt, where are you from originally?
Originally Oklahoma, but I moved from Texas. So that's where Jake and I met. I was doing undergrad and he was doing a graduate degree in music. We were both studying music.
Okay. Always suggesting that I was older. Always.
Actually, his second graduate degree, almost his doctorate. Yeah.
His postdoc. Did you guys try to make yourselves over to look like an LA/WeHo gay man?
I remember a certain top I had, not a sexual term, blue camouflage top that I had, a tiny little baby tee that I was flaunting all over West Hollywood. It didn't help that I worked at a gay bookstore and it was right on the strip. And so I would go out every night.
Did you work at Circus Books?
No, a different light before it closed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But which was Circus of Books was kind of our, we were upscale.
Got it.
Still sold poppers at the cash register. Don't get me wrong.
There was one day where, because Jake and I really became friends because he, along with one of our girlfriends, we call her Sissy. We all three lived in a house together for like 7 years in LA. And so that's when Jake would work at the bookstore. And one day he called me and said, "You might have to come pick me up from work." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because I dropped the box of poppers and I'm lightheaded and I don't know if I can get myself together."
Stop it. Why don't women have poppers? We don't have we have hummus.
Oh, yeah.
And ain't nobody getting lightheaded from too many chickpeas. Well, you guys know, Don't Tell My Mother, we divulge true stories. Yes.
Yes.
And I actually do not have any idea what stories you guys are telling. And I love that you're double teaming me today.
Oh, it's the first time we've ever done that.
But not the last.
I'll go first. Mine's shorter.
Matt, tell me everything.
This is a story about how Liz Claiborne ruined my mother's marriage. So picture it. It's 1986. Okay.
Oh, I was just born.
Yeah.
A little poodle puppy.
Oh, please. You were smoking cigarettes in the locker room and listening to Duran Duran and your hair was high and pink.
It's like one of those kids in Greece.
I'm kidding. No, Jake's only 18 years older than me. Or 18 months. Basically, growing up in Oklahoma, I was probably, as a kid who was obsessed with Wonder Woman and
like most other boys.
And musicals, I might have hashtag stood out a little bit. Mm-hmm. So my parents, we lived in a small 3-bedroom house, but my dad was a building contractor. So the bedroom master and the bathroom are really nice. Mm. And the bathroom was really long, kind of, and it had blue carpet. And it was kind of like with like blue palm wallpaper. It was garish, but very 80s. And so the bathroom, you'd walk down this kind of carpeted runway and then you turn and there was a huge walk-in closet. Wow. Not really that big, but to me as a kid, it felt enormous. So I used to love more than anything to when my mother would go run errands and my father was working and my brother was off playing sports, I would go in my mother's closet and that would be my consignment store if I opened a shop one day, Mama's Closet. And so my mother loved, we would go like every year, she would drive up to Oklahoma, take us to the city, or as we call it the city, but it's Oklahoma City. Yes. We'd go up to Oklahoma City to Crossroads Mall to the Dillard's, and she would buy her Liz Claiborne for the year. And
only
it was
the
like,
best.
Liz Claiborne's nice. Don't shit on with Liz Claiborne.
You know, she was the first one with Fortune 500 company.
Okay.
Anyway, didn't know that. Wow.
I didn't either.
She was. Yeah.
That's very cool.
So anyway, I would put on, because even though I shouldn't, I was watching Dallas. I was watching Dynasty, Falcon Crest. I was
like most boys that age.
I was watching all these shows at night when my parents would go to sleep. I would sneak out of my room and watch them. And so I would put on my mother's jackets, her Liz Claiborne jackets, and I would just strut around on this bathroom walkway.
How old were you?
Well, like I was probably 8, 9.
And did you know... were you called effeminate at this age? Did anybody say this to you or no?
Oh, anyone who had a head.
Yeah. I mean, I heard Sissy on a daily basis. And, my brother teased me actually a lot, which my brother and I are very close. But when I came out, he completely totally sobbed for like 3 days because he felt so horrible. So, but anyway, he, Southern stories are sad, y'all. And so anyway, I'd wear her clothes and everything, but more than anything, I love my mother's Liz Claiborne heels. Mm-hmm. And the specific one I loved because they went with anything. You remember that color in the 80s? It was nude, but it was kind of that gray nude.
Absolutely. Yes, it was almost like taupe-ish.
Kind of a filthy looking, dirty gray.
But I just want to bring up one thing. The fact that you chose the most garish or fun. You liked it because they went with everything.
That is our personality style, because you probably would choose the most garish red shoes.
I would have an 8-year-old.
Yeah, it's so...
Maddie's practical.
Exactly. Yeah, they were those kind of pointed heels that were just a normal heel with a, like a little 2-inch heel. But I used to strut around those. So one day, everybody was gone. And so I got it. Normally, literally, I would just keep it in my mother's bedroom because I was so scared. And my mother's bedroom, the closet, was right by the garage. So if anybody came home, I could hear it. Well, so one day... I was just prancing around the house, and I went to my room because we had the, which was on the other side of the house. And I'm in my room because that's where the tape player was, because of course I'm listening to like Madonna's Hanky Panky slapping my ass while I'm wearing these Liz Claiborne.
Wait, how does Hanky Panky go?
Oh, it's from Dick Tracy. You better like Hanky Panky. Nothing like you could spank me. Well, so anyway... So I'm sitting there spanking my ass in my mama's little playboard. She's dancing my gay life away.
Shut the fuck up.
Suddenly, I know this because my mom's station wagon pulls up. And I know this because she had a Bonneville station wagon. And my dad bought her a new one as a surprise.
Wow.
But my mother didn't like it. So she took it back to the dealer and she said, I want this one. And they said, well, they have to order that. She said, well, give me my old one back. And her old one needed, she needed a new car because it kind of did that
fan belt thing.
The music's up loud and I hear me, 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 but it's close and I hear the garage door shutting. I've got nowhere to go. Like, I know if I go to my mom's, the door's going to open. I'm afraid and she's going to catch me. So I immediately, the front door is on the other side of the house.
Whoa.
I immediately ran out our front door, ran past our backyard where I practiced my color guard with our broom.
Still in then, the heels, mind you. Yeah, still in the heels.
Still in the heels. And I went back. There was this field behind our house where we would ride three wheelers and I would sing Tina Turner because no one would hear me.
Sing it to the wind.
Exactly. And I would
play the bell.
And so I should have won that Tony first. Anyway, so I took the heels and I threw them as far as I can.
No.
Into the field.
And then I ran back into the house. And my mother was a smart move. My mother was already in the house. And she's like, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I was just outside playing. She's like, how do you don't have any shoes? We're not poor. Go put your shoes on. And I said, okay, mama. And I put on my shoes. And my mother never knew. And I'll never forget that Easter. She furiously looked for those shoes everywhere, cursing. My dad was saying, well, this is why you can't buy any goddamn nice shoes because you just fucking lose it. There goes my money. Here, they're getting into a fight now about money and it caused this big ordeal. And I just sat in my room not saying a word.
I can't believe you.
She still doesn't know to this day.
Would you ever tell her?
I don't think so.
Really? Matt?
I feel like I look back on my childhood and I feel like that was the beginning of my parents' divorce was fighting.
Matt! Wait, did you even ever just go, like, run into the field, get them and return them like a good thief?
No, I didn't want anybody to see me and I was scared to go at night because of snakes. Somebody built a house on that property. I wonder when they were digging that foundation, if they found a pair of Liz Claiborne like, hairs, they went, a gay boy died here or something like that. Something.
Maddie, did you ever wear her shoes again?
Oh, yes.
Did you ever throw them out of the fucking field?
No, I was very careful. After that, I made sure whenever I only stayed in her closet and I made sure to... I would do it in the kitchen because I like to wear the heels and sit down at the dining room table and play office. And I like to like sit at the chair and cross my legs and say, listen, Mr. Ollivander, you're getting fired because this place is a dump. I mean, I would just kind of act out these 80s shows that I would see. It wasn't a movie. I just made it. But I would kind of create my own dialogue of what I would see Liz Collins or whatever it do on Dynasty. Alexa.
Joan Collins,
yes.
Maddie, I can't believe, I'm just saying, I know we're not calling your mother today, but you have got to tell her.
No.
You really think she'd get mad like 20 years later?
I think weirdly, I kind of agree. She wouldn't understand it. And so, and I don't think, it's not that she would be upset with him, but she just wouldn't understand it. She wouldn't
be mad. She'd be more like, wow, my favorite shoes.
Yeah.
Goodness, Matthew. They didn't make that color after that. I never found that pair again.
Matthew!
I'd be like, I'm sorry.
Whose mother is more difficult in this scenario? Or are they difficult differently?
I think mine is probably.
Oh, and we're meeting your mother.
Yeah. My mother, let's just say this. My mother is a lovely, loving, funny, life of the party. When I was growing up, everyone was like, all my friends were like, I love your mother.
His mother.
What is she like? Give me a sense.
My mother is kind of a funnier version of the old lady on the shoebox greetings.
I'm going to break this down for you right now. Jake's mother is Jake. And Jake is Jake's mother. And you know what? I'm a lot like I'm my mother too. But they are so much alike in so many good qualities and sometimes not as helpful. But they are. But aren't we? I am too, like my mother. So
I just spent a week with my mother. Too much like her.
Yeah. You know, that's why I love meeting someone's parents, because you understand them more.
Totally. Look, I think I'm going to understand Poodle a whole lot more after meeting his mama. Poodle, does your mother know the story?
No, she does not know the story.
Okay, Jake, tell me everything.
This is a story about academia, shattered dreams, and peeing. Just don't tell my mother.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This was when I was in college. I was in the music department, which the School of Music in my undergrad was kind of like its own school, because we were all so close and we all had to practice so much. Mm-hmm. We would just be there at all hours. This was our senior year, and we were kind of like not caring. And at this time, and my friend Mary and I we would always practice late. She was an organ major. I was a piano major. And you had to practice 4 or 5 hours a day. And we hated it was our senior year. So of course you hate certain faculty members, and they're building a wing for the choral division. And we were just there one night in the music library, as you do. And we're just hanging out. And of course I think we had gone out to her car and like got some shots of like Fireball or something. That's what you did. You drank and then you practiced some more.
Sounds amazing.
Drank some cigarettes and practice.
Oh yeah. We would smoke cigarettes all the time. Don't mention that, because my mother still thinks I smoke.
He does.
I don't.
He
my mother said, is he smoking cigarettes again? Cause that's her worst thing. I swear to God, she still thinks I smoke cigarettes as much as I say.
I'll let her know you smoke. Don't worry.
I swear to God, Nikki, I'll never forgive you.
I will never, I promise.
So anyway, so we're sitting there and they're in the process of building this wing.
Yes.
And it's like still in, we know where we know where Dr. who's the guy over the choral department. We cannot stand this guy.
We'll bleep him out.
Complete misogynist, blah, 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 asshole. We were just drinking, and Mary and I were like sitting like, let's go in there and let's go into his office and pee on where it's going to be.
No. Wait, pee on what?
Pee right where it's going to be, because they were constructing it. They were just putting down the carpet and stuff like that.
Pee where his office will be.
No, where in his office, in his new office, in the construction zone. So... We're over there. I'm pulling down my pants, getting ready to pee. My friend Mary's already squatting in the corner. And all of a sudden, we see a light.
No.
And it's public safety.
No.
And public safety says, what are y'all doing? And I'm like, nothing. And public safety said, y'all need to come with us. He obviously knows what's happening, because you smell urine.
You're pissing in the office after hours.
Yeah. So we're sitting there in public safety. We're freaked. And my friend, her dad is a Dane.
At the school?
Yes.
So she has free tuition.
In a different apartment. Yes.
She fucked.
So we're sitting there and we're freaking out. And the guy who runs public safety, huge, huge, big guy, says, I know what you guys were doing in there. And we're not gonna put up with this. We're gonna call your parents.
No.
Tell them what you did. And we probably aren't gonna let you walk at graduation.
They knew you were pissing in a construction zone. Hate pissing.
Yeah, I think you'd
heard the sound of urine on concrete is pretty loud. My father was a builder, I know.
Yeah, he was, right.
We're sitting there. And then he said he was gonna call the doctor so-and-so and tell him what we did. And just that was even worse. Like, we would have to explain, oh yeah, I pissed in your new office. So we're sitting there and Mary finally calls her dad and says, hey dad, they found us kind of like maybe peeing in the new office. And her father's like, Mary, why did you do that? And she's like, and so anyway, the dean got on the phone and said, okay, here's the thing. These two have been friends. They've obviously were drinking or something like that. If you want to, we can take walking away from them. Anyway, we were waiting to find out what happened. We left. Neither of us slept the rest of the night, of course.
They let you go, though.
So, yeah, they said, we're going to contact you tomorrow. And you're going to call your parents. You're going to tell them on the phone. Anyway, we get there the next day. We never hear anything. They either forgot about it or Mary's father never really told them anything. But
you got off?
We got off. We got to walk. No one ever heard. I don't think Dr. Blah, blah, blah never knows. He's probably, I think he's retired now. But he was sat in that office and smelled up my urine for however long he was there.
You guys, so you're telling me someone is sitting on some taupe Liz Claiborne shoes and someone else is sitting on a bag of piss?
Yes.
None the wiser.
Yes. Yes. Double piss.
Double piss.
And you know what? And Dr. probably wonders subconsciously why he likes his wife to pee on him.
But yeah, my mother does not know that story. I actually have no idea what her response will be.
Can we call your mother?
Let's call her.
Let's call your mama.
Okay, there we go.
Mama Poodle.
What school?
Otherwise known as Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Nikki.
Yeah, I'm Nikki. You're Vicky.
Okay, is that Nikki with an N? N?
Yes.
N-I-K-K-I.
She looks so pretty.
She's like me. She has to spell it.
Hi, you look beautiful. I love your hair short.
Wait to say that.
We're wearing a similar color.
How's your dad?
He's doing much better. My brother's kind of on shift. His mobility is not great, but so far the cancer is not coming back. So, amen.
Hallelujah. Praise yes. the Lord. Great.
Thank you for asking.
Okay. All right. Now.
It's good to see you, Mom.
Vicky, thank you for coming on. I know this is not, you know, you're not usually jumping on Zoom. So this is a big deal. Thank you.
She's doing a favor for us. So thank you.
Thank you, Vicky.
Okay.
Vicky, tell us all where you're coming from.
I hate to say it, but Pickens, South Carolina.
You can say you should be proud of it.
Well, I know that everybody makes fun of Pickens. So
because of the name?
But we live in the mountains, which is beautiful.
So have you ever listened to Matt and Jake's podcast?
I never have. I don't know how to do that.
Jake?
No, she doesn't know. She doesn't podcast.
Okay, we have to teach you.
There's the FedEx truck coming. Sorry. Muffin will she'll get a treat.
The dog, my mother's dog may bark and get a treat.
She won't bark now because she gets two treats. One when he gets off the truck, and then he gets to whatever the box is, puts it on the porch, and then she's already eaten it, so he has to give her another one so she won't jump all over him. So
this dog is basically a member as a human of their family. The dog has replaced my brother and I.
Easily.
Jake, do you want to? Jake told us a little story today. Can he give you just a little blip of it?
All right. So, Mom, in college, you were my friend Mary yes. Huff. Basically, we were around the music building one night, and they were building a new addition to the music building. And we didn't like one of our professors. I think we were, and we both went in there and peed on his office.
Jake.
And anyway, no. Then public safety caught us and took us to the office. And they were telling us things like, "This is our senior year. We're not going to walk at graduation." And they were going to call you guys.
I can't believe Mary did that, much less you.
Anyway, I know, because her father was the dean. So anyway, they wound up telling us that they scared the shit out of us. And they said, you know, "You're not going to walk a graduation. Here's the thing." And then Mary's dad called, and then they basically said, he said, you know, there was them having fun, blah, blah, blah. And don't let this go. But anyway, we went home, didn't sleep at all that night. We didn't know what's going to happen. No one ever did anything. No one ever, they just forgot about it.
Because Mary's dad probably got them off the hook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank goodness for Mary's dad.
I know. So that was, does that shock you that we would do something like that?
It shocks me that you and Mary would do it. I mean, I would expect that out of Lucas any day, but not today.
That's my brother. That's my brother. Yeah. But yeah, that is that story. I what kind of kid was I, Mom? Tell us about that.
I thought you were going to ask me to tell stories about, you know, the time you embarrassed us so much at church when we were having little mission friends.
Oh.
What happened?
Oh, I love this story. Jake was about 3 and a half, I guess, because Lucas was a baby, you know, on my chest. And we lived in another house, and Jim and I would, we experimented in homemade wine, different kinds of wine. So
experimented.
So we had decided that we were going to join the little local Baptist rule. And I mean rule, because they probably had maybe 100 members of the church.
What is a rule?
Rural.
Rural.
Rule. I'm sorry, rule.
you say it like me.
I thought there was a rule that I needed to know. Got you. Sorry.
Anyway, and I'm talking, you know, where they would never think of taking a drink of wine or something
right.
like that.
Oh.
That is.
Yeah, very, very much public. In the South.
You know, they do it in the closet what I'm.
Oh, lots in the closet.
I raised Jake and Lucas. They didn't have sugar like that and never think about Kool-Aid. I mean, you know, you don't put those dyes in your body. And so they'd never had Kool-Aid, but they had wine.
Oh, my God.
But that's
had a little wine occasionally.
So anyway, we had these little clear little solo cups that we would let our family, friends, and everybody came to sample the wine and little clear solo cups. And so we go back the next week, and I have everything over here on this side for them to eat. And Mary, this is the preacher's daughter, spinster. She was not married. And she was over on the other side, and she said she would bring them something to drink. There she was doling out red Kool-Aid in those little solo cups. And Jake's over there watching her. He says, "Oh, boy, we're having wine."
No!
She said, "We don't drink wine." He said, "We do. My mom and dad make it in the basement."
Stop it! Were you so mortified, Vicky?
I didn't say a word. I just went right along what I was doing. Never mentioned it or anything. And so Jake did taste it. He said, "This is not wine." She said, "No, honey, it's not wine. It's Kool-Aid." And he said, "Well, I like it." So anyway, I go home and I tell Jim, Jake's dad, I said, "We're going to get thrown out of the church." I said, told him what Jake said. He said, "Well, if we do, we do, you know." So, but you know, we never heard a word.
Yeah.
Never heard a word.
Much like peeing in the office.
Never heard a word.
Was Jake a troublemaker? growing up?
Not really. He did a lot of fighting with his brother. That's all. He was pretty good.
One time Jake told a story on the podcast, and it's by far our listeners love it more than anything. And it's a story about when Jake and Lucas tried to kill a bunch of birds in the chimney.
Oh, that's an old...
What?
They literally went on top of the roof, poured gasoline down the chimney, and then lit it aflame. And then I guess they came downstairs.
Yeah, we had to clean it out over that.
And there was soot everywhere.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yes.
Vicky, what is the best advice you have given Jake?
Well, I think it is that I gave Jake and Lucas both this advice that to always do something, whatever you want to do in your life, you know, your job or whatever, to do something you enjoy. Because there's nothing worse than going every day to some place and having to work at a job that you don't enjoy. I did that for 9 years, and I said I'd never want to. After that, I hauled it from a bank because I was not an inside person, and I ended up getting a real estate license and running an office, and we've got into real estate and development.
You're still working?
Well, I have to. I have to keep my husband in line. Have to keep everything for him. He doesn't text and he doesn't email or anything like that. So I have to do all of that.
She's kind of the man at arms, getting everything.
I just got back from the tax accountant, just a while ago because, we're involved in something and I had to go down there.
This is everybody's mother's house.
And that is the thing that tells you who's calling.
That's my mother's house.
Can I call you back? Okay. Sorry about that.
All right. It's fine.
Mama Poodle, I get the impression you're very tough.
I actually got a Mother's Day card from my daughter-in-law about 2 years after she and Lucas were married. And she had, it was a picture of a woman has a jackhammer and work boots and everything on. And in the inside, she had written, I'm very lucky to have the mother-in-law I do. She said, you're the strongest woman I've ever known. Well, can you believe that? I saved that card.
I think I agree with that.
Jake, what is the best and worst thing you learned from your mom?
I think the best thing is probably she goes into things and she doesn't quit. She's not a quitter.
Yes.
Hell yes. That's called being a woman.
The worst thing is probably in the same line, because this is me too. When she's having an argument with someone, she won't quit either. She will bend them and make them admit when they are wrong. And then over their dead body, she'll want them to admit defeat.
And I
like the Staples store.
Yes.
The Staples store.
Like the Staples store, yes.
And I can attest Jake is the same way.
You don't want people to run over you.
True. I agree. 100%.
I agree too. If you don't stand up for yourself, who's going to stand up for you?
Fall for anything.
See?
Yeah.
I see why Jake is like you.
Uh-oh. Why?
It's good. because you're like, I'm doing what I want and I'm just tough.
Jake's dad tries to pull the reins on me a lot, but I just have to do what I have to do.
Exactly.
As they say in Greece, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck. She can turn the head any way she wants. Isn't that true?
That's very true.
I end every podcast with you guys telling each other what you love most about each other.
Aww.
And Maddie, I'm going to have you jump in and say what you love most about Poodle and Vicky too.
I love that I know where I stand with Jake and with Vicky because they're both true, so authentic. And I think that it's, when I met Vicky, it was under very stressful circumstances. But because she's so much like Jake, it was like an immediate friend. And I think we got along well together. And so I think that just though Jake has made me be a more... When you're in the South, you want to be nice to people. You don't necessarily lie, but you tell people what they want to hear. And I don't do that anymore. And I think that's a lot because of Jake. And I know he gets that from his mother.
I love that.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Some people would say that's good and some would say it's not.
Yeah, I think it's good. I'm going to have to say the same thing.
My favorite thing about my mom is she's honest, and she will almost always tell you exactly, even if you don't really want to hear it, she's going to tell you kind of how she feels, regardless of what happens. So yeah, that's what I love about her.
Vicky, what do you love most about Jake and Matt?
Good gracious. What do I love most about Jake? Well, how could you not love him? My goodness. You know, and he is
my
firstborn son. And it's, you know, I love that he has a zest for life, and which I hope that he never loses. And I love that he's a hard worker, because I raised both of them that way. And I know that Jim's been their father, but he was not always hands-on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He was working all the time. I mean, sometimes they wouldn't see him for 3 or 4 days, you know, and he'd be coming home every night, but he'd come after they went to sleep, you know, he'd be come in and he'd be gone the next morning before they got up. But I love Jake's, like I say, his zest for life, and that he doesn't give up. He hangs in there, and which is everything I'd ever want in a kid. And I know he's not a kid to y'all, but he is to me. And I love him dearly. I love him dearly.
Aw.
We're going to teach you how to listen to the podcast. This one and theirs.
My problem is, where do you get time for stuff like that?
In the car and all the schlepping.
I go in the car and I get out 15 times in 20 minutes.
She's got to go take her dog Muffin to the vet. She's got a lot of stuff to do.
This is her checkup.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mom.
Okay. I hate for everybody to see me.
You're not. No one's going to see you. I want to hear you.
We're just seeing you. It's just the audio.
All right. Okay.
But you look pretty.
Good to see you too.
It's wonderful. I know. I miss you now.
I know. I wish I could hug you.
If it's not one thing,
it's your mother.
Thank you for listening, my family. Do us a favor. If you're on Apple Podcasts or wherever, give us a rating and a review. Give us 5 stars. Tell us what you want, what you really, really want. Tell us what guests to bring on. I'll go out to anybody. I have no shame. You know me. Please follow me on the socials at Don't Tell My Mother and at Nikki Levy. And just remember, love your mothers. They are doing their best. And you know, our parents know how to push our buttons because they're the ones who installed them. Kisses, kisses, kisses. Smooches, smooches back. Mwah.
Don't Tell My Mother is created, hosted, and executive produced by Nikki Levy, my daughter. The show is executive produced by John Cryer. Oh my God, I love him. And Lisa Joyner and Jody Zuckerman Weiner at Discount Sushi. Our producer is Liza Glukoft. Co-producer, Andrew Condon. Mixed and edited by Donovan Bullen. Theme song by Donovan Bullen and Joe McKenzie. Distributed by Acast. Now go call your mothers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.